She said I could say anything I wanted to about her. So I will. I've known Christine a minute or two. And, you know, one of the things about church life is that when you're standing up here, people are looking at you and they know who you are. Or when you're in the choir, when you're in the worship team, people know who you are. But there have been times that I've said, you know, Christine. Who's that? You know, Christine. And then I try to describe her. And, well, you know, she sits over there with Kyle. But they may not know her because she's a pillar. And she's a valuable member of Victory Outreach. She's a valuable member of our administration. She is a worker. She is a blessing to our pastors. And the thing that I love most about Christine is that sometimes she's wrong. And she digs her heels in a minute. But if you talk to her and reason it through with her, she'll pray about it. And she will say, I was wrong. And she will let God do whatever he wants to do. She loves Victory Outreach. She's, like I said, a pillar of this church. She loves Sister Barbara. And she loves all of you. And she loves God. And with that, I'd like to introduce Miss Christine Duncan. Give her a hand.
I just want to thank God, amen, for his grace and his mercy. I want to read something, but I can't get my phone open. Fingerprint won't work. The word reckless means utterly concerned about the consequence of some action, without cause, careless. When God loves us, he loves us with that word in front of it. Utterly unconcerned about the consequences of some action. He loves you despite the actions that have taken place in your life. And this isn't part of my message, but I asked Christine to sing that song because this is the song that I've been listening to over and over and over for the past few months because I wanted to understand what God's love meant for his people. I have a little playlist that has three songs in it. This is one of them. I play it over and over. At work, played in the car. Just the same three songs over and over. That's just me. But this one, Reckless Love. I told her, can you find a song about Mary and Martha? And then I said, hey, and a little while later, I said, hey, I want to show you this song. She goes, I want that one. It's about God's love, amen. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you tonight, God, for our salvations, God. We thank you, God, that you've brought us, God, to this place tonight, Father, that we are in your divine will tonight, God. We're in your purpose. We're in your plan, God. And we ask that tonight that you would move me aside, God. And Lord, that you would speak to your women, God, to each of us. Speak to us tonight, God. Move by your spirit. We give you liberty in this place, God. We give you reign over our hearts tonight, God, that you would move. And that you would have your way in us, God. Decrease me, God, so that what I speak is from you, Father. We love you tonight. And we all said, amen. Amen. I'm so grateful for my salvation. I'm grateful for my church. I got saved in Victory Outreach at 16. That was a long time ago. I think, I don't know. I don't think any of you knew me at 16. Oh. The brother in the back in the sound booth, he knew me at 16. Amen. I just want to thank God for my pastors, that they trust me, the women's team for entrusting me to teach his word. And I'm really nervous tonight because my mama's here. Sister Barbara is here. And I said, I'm really nervous. And everyone said, why? You spoke last week, right? I said, I'm just nervous because my mom's here. My spiritual mama is here. Amen. And I don't take the responsibility she's given me lightly. I thank God for my husband who's in the back and my daughter who couldn't be here tonight, but that they're supportive, and my friends that are here, Sister Shell, who is sometimes she gets the brunt of my crazy, and I thank God that she never takes a record of it. Amen? Amen. So last week we learned about Martha. I told you about who I know named Martha. And tonight we're going to talk about her sister, Mary. Sorry, I'm not usually a crier. Some of you are probably like, what the heck? She's crying. So we're going to talk about Mary. Were you thinking that? Shaw was like, she's crying. What the heck's going on? Amen. It's been a process, this studying and learning about Martha and Mary. It's been a process in my life. So tonight we're going to talk about Mary of Bethany. There's many Marys in the Bible. Can you name a couple? Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary Magdalene, right? Well, we're going to talk about Mary of Bethany. The name Mary, there's lots of meanings when you start researching. Have you ever researched a name? Research your own name. It's kind of fun. Or not, if you find out it's something you didn't know, right? The name Mary means sea of bitterness, rebelliousness, and also wished for child. Most likely, it originated in as an Egyptian name derived from part of M-R-Y, which means beloved, or M-R, which means love. I shared with you my connection to the name Martha last week. Well, I have a connection to the name Mary. It's kind of funny, kind of not. So my mom's name is Mary Lou. Some of you know my mom. You've met my mom. Her name is Mary Lou. She's been Mary Lou her whole life. All of my life, she's been Mary Lou. Well, recently, she had to go get her driver's license. And she's not Mary Lou anymore. Her name is Mary. So she tells the kids, I'm Grandma Mary now. I said, oh, get over it, Mom. You're not. You're Mary Lou. You're Grandma Lou. And so I have a connection to this name. And when I started off studying, I could tell you that I didn't. Sister Barbara said, you pick, right? I told you guys that last week. And I didn't know what I was getting myself into exactly when I picked, but God knew. And so my mom's birth certificate says Mary. She's a Mary. And one of the things I was studying names, Mary Lou, it means famous warrior, which is very fitting for my mother, for those of you that know her. But I've just been learning so much about women of the Bible during this discipleship, during the last 4 weeks that we had at the beginning of the year. I encourage you to keep on growing. We put the gardening stuff down here because we want you to grow. Amen. We gave you seed packets because we want you to grow. So in studying Mary, God has really grown me. I was happy to study Martha because by nature, I'm a Martha, like Joanne said, right? And while I was studying Martha, I began to form opinions about Mary. So all week, I struggled with how I really feel about Mary. Part of me said that I wish I was more like Mary. Well, why didn't you make me a Mary, God? And then another part of me started to judge Mary, feeling like I could never live up to the Mary anyways, so why try? So I was kind of having that struggle, that thought in my head. But what I've learned is that Mary was a woman unafraid of expressing her love. She had some fear, but she did it anyways. She expressed her love for Jesus. She was determined to seek the heart of God. She wanted a relationship with Christ. The word relationship means a connection, an association, or an involvement. A connection. Do you have a relationship with someone? It doesn't have to be a man. A friendship, it's all a connection. You have a relationship with Christ. You have a connection. You have an association. You're involved with them. When you have a relationship with someone, you're involved with them. Whether it's a friendship, whether it's a marriage, you're involved. You're invested. She wanted a deep relationship. The word deep means extending far down from the top, the surface. Have you ever had a friendship with someone that just was like surface? It wasn't too deep. It was, hi, how are you? Like the neighbor. Do you guys have a relationship with your neighbors? I kind of don't. Some of us do, right? Some of them are like, hi. Right? There's the neighbor on the one side of our house. They're like, hi. He's an older man. He kind of knew my parents from somewhere. He's like, hi. But I don't even remember his name. That's surface. I don't want to come to church and just kind of know Jesus' name. Hi, Jesus. Mary wanted a deep connection, a deep involvement with Jesus. So let's read about Mary in the Bible. Let's go to John chapter 11. And like last week, we're going to do a lot of reading tonight. You guys like to read the Bible? John chapter 11, verse 1. When you're there, say, I got it. John 11, 1. A man named Lazarus was sick. He lived in Bethany with his sisters, Mary and Martha. This is the Mary who later poured the expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. Her brother, Lazarus, was sick. So the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him, Lord, your dear friend is sick. That's a relationship, right? Lord, like they sent a message to Jesus. Not everybody could do that. Verse 4. But when Jesus heard about it, he said, Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of Man will receive glory from this. So although Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. Finally, he said to his disciples, let's go back to Judea. Verse 8. But his disciples objected. Rabbi, they said, only a few days ago the people in Judea were trying to stone you. Are you going there again? Jesus replied, there are 12 hours of daylight every day. During the day, people can walk safely. They can see because they have the light of this world. But at night, there is danger of stumbling because they have no light. Verse 11, then he said, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but now I will go and wake him. The disciples said, Lord, if he is sleeping, he will soon get better. They thought Jesus meant Lazarus was simply sleeping, but Jesus meant Lazarus had died. Verse 14, so he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Because they didn't hear him the first time, right? Lazarus is dead, and for your sakes, I am glad I wasn't there. For now you will really believe. Come, let us go see him. Thomas, nicknamed the twin, said to his disciples, let's go, too, and die with Jesus. When Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in his grave for 4 days. Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, and many of the people had come to console Martha and Mary in their loss. When Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you only had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask. Let's go forward to verse 27. Yes, Lord, she said. She told him, I have always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God. When she returned to Mary, she called Mary aside from the mourners and told her, the teacher is here and wants to see you. So Mary immediately went to him. Jesus stayed outside the village at a place where Martha met him. When the people who were at the house consoling Mary saw her leave so hastily, they assumed she was going to Lazarus' grave to weep. So they followed her there. Sorry. When Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled within him, and he was deeply troubled. Where have you put him? He asked. They told him, Lord, come and see. Then Jesus wept. The people who were standing nearby see how much he loved him. But some said, this man healed a blind man. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying? Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb. A cave with a stone rolled across its entrance. Roll the stone away, Jesus told them. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested, Lord, he has been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible. Jesus responded, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe? So they rolled away the stone. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of these people standing here, so that they will believe you sent me. Then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out. And he came out. We see here the story that in front of her, in front of Martha and Mary, they got to witness their brother. They witnessed him go into the grave, wrapped with grave clothes, and he was taken into the grave. And then they witnessed Jesus tell him to come forth, and he came forth. There was a gratefulness that was inside of them, all three of them. They were important people to Jesus. You don't see everybody's name in the Bible that Jesus was their friend, that Jesus loved them and mentioned them by name. It's very rare. There's not a lot. But these three special people, God loved them. Jesus loved them. And so we see that there was some gratefulness. Would you be grateful if God did a miracle for you? Are you grateful when he does a miracle? What does that miracle do inside of you? Does it push you to want more? Not more miracles, does it push you to want more of him? The next part that I want to read to us is John chapter 12. And so there's, and Amberly spoke about it, about the anointing when she anointed Jesus, when Mary anointed Jesus. There's three times that it's mentioned in the Gospels, in John, in Matthew, and in Mark. It's all the same, Mary of Bethany. We're going to read the version in John chapter 12. And so you can read it from different points of views from each of the different authors from the Gospel. So she was so important that each of the Gospels speaks about her, John, Matthew, and Mark. Chapter 12, verse 1, 6 days before the Passover celebration began, Jesus arrived in Bethany, the home of Lazarus, the man he had raised from the dead. The dinner was prepared in Jesus' honor. Martha served, and Lazarus was among those who ate with him. Then Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made from the essence of nard, N-A-R-D, and she anointed Jesus' feet with it, wiping his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance. But Judas Iscariot, the disciple who would soon betray him, said, that perfume was worth a year's wages. It should have been sold and money given to the poor. Not that he cared for the poor, he was a thief, and since he was in charge of the disciples' money, he often stole from him some himself. Jesus replied, leave her alone. She did this in preparation for my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. In this account, Mary wanted to do something for Jesus. He had healed her brother. He had raised him from the dead. People around her were always asking Jesus for something. I kind of think about it in our day. If Jesus was walking among us, what would we do? Would we worship? Would we ask? Would we have a list of things that we need and that we want? How would we approach it if Jesus was in our midst, physically in our midst? How would we act? So I often think, well, would I have a list of things that I want from Jesus? Would I have like the whole, you know, when you go meet with your boss and you like want a raise or something crazy, right? You're like, I need to have a meeting with you. And you go in with your list, right? I want to come in at 7:30, I want a $5 raise, I want a different lunch, I want to do this other responsibility, or I don't want to do that, right? Would we have a list for Jesus? As she was sitting at Jesus' feet, which Amberly so eloquently shared, she was sitting at his feet. It was not even a place that a woman would normally be. The disciples were there. That's not a place for a woman at the feet of Jesus. But she sat there. She made her way, and she sat there. And nobody stopped her. She remembered that she had an alabaster jar of pure spikenard. That's what it's called. Her uncle had given her. It's something that she would have normally saved and used on her wedding day. So think about your wedding day for those of you that are married or have, you know, been married. Or about to get married. We have someone in here that's about to be married. Like, how are you preparing? Are you getting, like, your special perfume? What are you doing? Probably lots of preparations that you make for yourself as you're preparing to get married. She could have used that for her wedding. So this nard, N-A-R-D, what that is, it stimulates the immune system and relaxes the body. It's regarded as one of the most precious oils. That's what nard is. It's kind of weird, right? Nard. Everyone say nard. It's kind of weird. It's like, I don't really like, it's not like a pretty word, right? It's a relaxing word. Think of it as that. It's a precious oil. She went and she got it. She had to leave the feet of Jesus and go get the perfume. And then she comes back and she cracks it at his feet. And then she began, she took her hair down, right? Amberly talked about it. She took her hair down and she began to wipe her feet with her hair. The accounts of this event in Matthew and Mark speak about her anointing his head. John speaks only about his feet. And so from what I've read, because I've studied a lot about nard, she had enough to anoint his whole body. So it's likely that she didn't just anoint his feet, but his head also. And it's just a different perspective from each of the gospel writers. So as you can imagine, it's like if you were to crack open a bottle of expensive perfume in this room right now. What would happen? It would go all over, right? It would just begin to... So if you cracked it right here, I'd probably smell it first. If you cracked it in the back, I'd smell it first because I have a really good sense of smell. But it would crack and you'd begin to smell it. So I can always tell when Savannah or Sister Barbara buys a new scent for the church because I smell it. Like as soon as I walk in the building, I'm like, whoa, they bought something new. And then my head, I'm trying to figure out what it is, right? So you imagine you crack the oil. So she cracked the jar, she opened it, and everybody began to smell it in the room. So if we cracked it in the middle of service while Pastor was preaching, people would start talking. What's that smell? Did you smell that? What is that? Who spilled it? Who's wearing too much perfume? It stinks. It smells good. I like it. Like people would begin to talk because they begin to smell the aroma of the perfume. I'm sure that people began to look around, and she probably could hear them talking. There was rumbling of conversation in the room. Who is that? What is she doing? And then all of a sudden, Judas began to speak. So this disciple, right, one of Jesus' own, starts to talk. And she's still on the floor, you know, ministering to Jesus, anointing him. And Judas says, why is she doing that? You could have sold that for a year's wages. Now, in your head, calculate how much money you make in a year. I don't care if you're retired and you get a retirement, if you live on welfare, calculate 1 year's wages real quick. I know how much I make because I sign a yearly contract. Every year I look at the number and make sure it's the right one. Right? A year's wages, that's what it would have cost. Judas didn't agree with what she was doing. Why didn't she sell it? Why didn't she give the money to the poor? It's worth a year's wages. One of the books that I read said $10,000. That's like how much you'd make if you are minimum wage at the time the book was written, which was a while ago. I'm sure that she began to get a lump in her throat. Like, uh-oh, this man of God, this disciple, is now calling me out. What would you do if a disciple called you out? What would you do if you started to do something in the church and one of the ministers said something? Would you run? Would you hide? Would you cry? Would you go in a little ball, right? Crawl under the chair? Someone close to Jesus was talking about her. She probably thought, oh no, I messed up. This was a bad idea. Those thoughts are probably running through her mind. Who am I to think that I could even be doing this? Can you imagine the thoughts crossing her mind? She stepped out in faith in public. It's easy to step out in faith when nobody's there. It's easy to say, oh yeah, I'll sing on the worship team on Thursdays. But on a Sunday morning, that's different. I'll go to the streets on Tuesday when no one's around. But when you have to do it in public with a bullhorn, different story. And now, not only did she step out in faith in public, but she began to be criticized. What would you have done? Would you have stopped? Would you have ran? Would you have cried? Would you have gave up? Would you have kept going? She did. She probably began to think that Jesus was having the same thought as his disciple. Have you ever doubted yourself? In the midst of doing something great, have you ever doubted yourself? Doubt where you see,
Doubt where you what you were doing was really God's will. Doubt that what you're doing is the right thing. Maybe this isn't the right thing. Maybe this is the right thing at the wrong time. Maybe I picked the wrong time. She probably had all these thoughts. But she continued to push through and to do it. She stayed quiet and kept doing what she was doing. She didn't jump to defend herself. She didn't like stand up and say, Judas, this is the plan. She didn't defend herself. She didn't say, you're wrong. She didn't come against the man of God. She let the people talk. She just sat there and kept doing what she was doing. Jesus began to defend her. Let's look at Mark 14, verse 6. But Jesus replied, leave her alone. Imagine, she probably like welled up with, yes, leave her alone. Why criticize her for doing such a good thing to me? You will always have the poor among you. You can help them whenever you want, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could and has anointed my body for burial ahead of time. I tell you the truth, whenever the good news is preached throughout the world, this woman's deeds will be remembered and discussed. Here we are right now discussing her. Through the generations, we've talked about Mary. When we're in the midst of seeking God, doing his will, and someone or something comes against us, we have to be like Mary and keep going. Stay on course, trust in him to see us through, to be our defense, to quiet our accusers. Verse 9 says, this woman's deeds will be remembered and discussed. What she did is memorable. When you push through, even when it's hard, when you push through, even when somebody else says, what are you doing? What you're doing is wrong. What you're doing is a waste. When you push through, you're doing something memorable. Let's read about Martha and Mary's house when Jesus comes to visit. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Verse 10:38. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. Mary's displayed to us in this section of Scripture true worship and devotion in her heart. Jesus said, she has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. It was her highest priority. She sat at Jesus' feet, which was a place for, like I said earlier, was for disciples, not typically for a woman. Her devotion to God is more than any of our service. Her devotion to God was more than what Martha was doing. Martha was distracted. She didn't have Jesus on her mind. She had her work on her mind. Remember last week we talked about faith without works is dead, right? We were talking about work. Faith without works is dead. But in true reality, works without faith is just work. When you love someone, the work we do is enjoyable and a whole lot less work. I go to my job and some days it's really, really hard work. But most days, I love what I do. It's not a lot of work. Did you work hard today? But I love it. I get satisfaction. I like helping people. I like seeing students graduate. I like seeing them, you know, fulfill a plan and a purpose and get some potential and seize opportunities. So not every day do I say, oh, I was at work today. Some days I do. Lately, it's been a lot of hard work. But in the end, I love what I do. So I will keep doing it because I love it. Everyone is at risk of becoming so concerned with doing things for God that we begin to neglect hearing him and remembering what he has done for us. Our service cannot crowd out our worship of him. We can't get so caught up with service, work,
that we forget who we're working for. We can't get so caught up with what we're doing that we forget to worship and to praise and to adore and to love Jesus. Sometimes we work so hard we forget what he did for us. For me, it's been a long time, 16 years ago. No, when I was 16, long time ago. I wish I was 32, I'm not. When I was 16, God saved me. He gave me hope, he gave me a future, he gave me a reason to live. I didn't have a reason before that. We have to keep our spiritual priorities in order. Do you have priorities in your life? We probably all do. Whether they're spoken or not, you probably have a list of priorities that lives inside of your head and inside of your heart. Well, you have to have the same spiritual priorities in order in your life. Focusing on Jesus first will soften our soul. Have you ever felt like your soul was hard? Like a hard heart, hard soul? I've been there. Joanne's seen me there. When we begin to put our work into perspective, it teaches us to put others first. So putting the work into the right perspective will allow us to be more like Mary. Putting our Martha in perspective helps us for our Mary to shine inside of us. Mary pursued a deep relationship with Jesus. We talked about the word deep. We talked about the word relationship. She soaked up his teaching. I think that if Martha would have stopped and sat at Jesus' feet in her condition, in her spiritual condition, she would have sat there and the whole time, she probably wouldn't have even heard what he said because she was so busy thinking about, I got to do this and I got to do that and this isn't ready and that's not ready and the house is dirty and look at my sister. Like she probably would have had so many things on her mind. Her soul needed to be softened towards Christ. Mary took the promises of Jesus to heart. She listened for every change of inflection that would give her more clues as to who he is. You learn about people by listening to them. You learn what's important to them. They don't have to say, well, my first priority in life is being a parent. They don't have to tell you that because you can see it with their life. In verse 42, it says, there is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it. She discovered the one thing. When it's all said and done, we have to find the one thing. We have to pursue a relationship, a deep relationship with Christ. It has to be our focus. It has to be our priority. It has to be our reason for existing. As we do that, the Lord will help us find the balance we need in our lives. We need Marthas in the church. We need Marthas in your family, right? Do you need somebody to do the dishes? God wants both Marys and Marthas in the church. We have to find the balance. We must learn to work like Martha and worship like Mary. Sometimes we worship while we work. That's like me playing those three songs over and over and over while I'm driving, while I'm eating, while I'm working, while I'm sleeping all the time. It is essential that we do not do one and exclude the other. Oh, I'm only a Martha. I can't usher because I have to pray. That's all I do is pray. Or I have to usher. I can't worship. I have to clean the parking lot. I can't worship. We have to learn how to find the balance. It takes the loving service of Martha and the adoring prayers of Mary to complete the full ministry of the body of Christ in this world. We have to have both. We have to adore Christ, and we have to work for him. There's not one better than the other. There's not. There has to be a balance. And there doesn't just have to be a balance in the church. There has to be a balance in each and every one of us. The lives and characteristics of Martha and Mary remind us that God uses all kinds of people. I'm not like you, and you're not like me. And you're not like the sister sitting next to you. And you're not like Joanne, and you're not like Sister Barbara. You're you. And God made you just like you are. He made Christine Griego with the ability to win things. She proves it every women's discipleship, right? We are not to despise one another or look at each other's strengths or weaknesses with contempt. You can't say, like, oh, did she even praying at that altar? Look at her. She's there again. Look. Look, the chairs are all messed up, and she's still praying. This needs to be done, and she's still praying. Or does that girl ever pray? She's always at the door greeting because she doesn't want to pray. We can't stand, look at people in contempt because we don't understand the way that God made them. He has gifted us differently for a reason. We must appreciate our differing temperaments and contrasting personalities. Look at the person next to you and tell them, you have a contrasting personality. It's very good that you don't have the same personality as the person sitting next to you. Because if you did, you'd probably hurt each other. The end of my notes say, together we are better. Together we are better. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. Together we are better. Joanne asked earlier who's a Martha. I raised both hands. Michelle says she's a Mary, but she has some Martha in her. The goal is to find the balance. The goal is to understand God's love for you uniquely. It's yours. His love for you is you. He made you. He made you different. We're different than our parents. Sister Barbara has four daughters. They're all different. They have pieces of her, but they're all different. My daughter, Kayla, has pieces of me, but her opinions, not the same as mine. And at 16, she makes that known really well. And I look at her and I say, but God, you made her. You made her different from me because I need different opinions. I don't need a little Christine, a little mini-me marching around. I want her to be who God's made her to be. And if she's a Mary, then I'm going to cultivate her Mary. If she's a Martha, then I'm going to challenge her to be Mary, to let the Mary in her shine. So as we all stand and begin to worship, I just want to challenge you tonight to ask God for the balance. Ask God to help you understand what your strengths and what your weaknesses are so that you can function and you can thrive and you can be successful in what you do in life. Not just in ministry in the church, because we want you to be successful at home. We want you to be successful in the community. We want you to be successful at work. And it's so important to understand who you are. So just close your eyes and begin to worship with us. Begin to worship Jesus. Just begin to talk to him. Tell him, God, I want to be more like Mary. I want to have a deep relationship with you. I want to know you in a deeper way. Praise you, Jesus. God, we worship you tonight, Father. And Lord, we pray that tonight you would have your way, God, in our hearts, God, that you would draw us closer to you, Father, that we would learn, God, how to be women who sit at your feet, God, that have our spiritual priorities in order, God, and that we understand that sitting at your feet is important, God. Getting to know you, God, is important to us, God. Father, we ask that tonight you would move upon our hearts, Jesus. Move upon our lives, God. God, help us, God, to grow, God, in you, God, in each of the areas, God, of our strength, God. And in our weaknesses, God, that we would be women that are completely honest with ourselves, God, and honest with you, Father. Hallelujah.